Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on? It is a lovely Saturday thus far. Rain is in the forecast, but hopefully we can shoo that away. Had enough of that last week, without a doubt. So recovering and recouping from the Capital Jazz Fest, another year underneath the belt. It was a beautiful situation, with the exception of Sunday when it freaking was a mini monsoon going on out that piece. However, we did thug it through until Brandy came on, and then we were like, yeah, it's time to fold the tent and bounce, because there was definitely rivers running through it, so it was time to go. Josh Stone showed up. Your girl, Fantasia. Whew. I'm sorry. Give me a pause. She came
on
with
leotard. That's a married woman you're doing that to,
she,
by the way.
She came out in the leotard.
And her husband.
And she was shaking her tail.
And her husband is married as well, by the way.
I got a personal summer going on. I just, I had the goosebumps. So, yeah, that was a very good look. Never mind the comments from the peanut gallery. Good morning, sis. What's happening with you?
I am fantastic. I have successfully transitioned yet another border into their own living space. I have revamped my home. I have worn my waistline trainer belt for one straight week. It's a good week.
Okay. So the week started off in the news, pretty much in memoriam. Shockingly, to those on the outside, Kate Spade took her life. And then on toward the latter part of the week, Anthony Bourdain took his life. And mental illness is real, something we've tackled, and I got to get better at that because I'm trying to actually get some folks on whom are qualified and practicing this heavily. So blame it on my my head, family, not my heart, to be honest with you, because it's definitely high on the list. It's not low on the list at all. This is not low-lying fruit. But my brother comes in from Colorado. And I knew he was coming. I didn't know when he was coming. He was supposed to call me beforehand. He didn't. He just showed the fuck up and stuff. So, you know, I'm sitting there with him, sister-in-law, my niece, my nephew. My other brother came through. Terry came through. But my niece, my nephew. And we're having this great quality family time and shit. And I'm like, you know, whom would have thought we would be where we are now, 10, 15, 20 so years ago, and here we are. I'm really loving the entire atmosphere. It's very well charged. You know, it was all genuine and stuff like that. But it struck a chord with me deeply because of Kate Spade's passing. And then it struck another chord with me yet again when I heard of Anthony Bourdain taking his life. And I'm like, life is good. You know, so I've been talking about the fucked upness. So here's the big reveal. Last Saturday, as you all know, I talked about it deeply. I was supposed to go to Seattle. Notice I said I was supposed to go. It didn't work. Plane ticket was bought, up on time, whole nine. Everything I did everything almost perfectly, and I'll explain, because I take responsibility for the shit not working as well. I played some part in that. I get up, and I'm rolling. I call Mayo. Mayo's like, yo, we good. I'm actually up already, because he and I were supposed to meet at the Capitol Jazz Fest like at 5 o'clock in the morning. I said, yo, I'm already here. I'm already in line. Everything's good. However, I could really use, we could really use some ice and some other stuff. And I was like, well, I'm up early enough, you know what I'm saying? I was planning on coming out there anyhow. I'll do it and stuff, because my flight didn't leave till like 7:20. So I was like, yo, I'm good. You know, I'll just shoot out there, grab it, run out, boom, 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 drop it off, chat a couple minutes, run back, boom. My mindset was, if I get to my parking location by the half an hour, I'm golden. I got to my parking location before the half an hour, right? As I'm getting there, I purchase my parking pass and coming out to put it in my car. The shuttle driver comes up. I'm like, yo, butter, this shit is working exactly like I planned it. This motherfucker comes, and this is the part that I don't blame myself. This motherfucker comes and says, well, sir, I got somebody right behind me. You know, they can take you to the airport. And I was like, okay, well, this is a couple minutes. Ain't the biggest deal, because I had a little bit of cushion. No check bags. It was just me. Very easy day. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, oh, no problem. Boom. So I get to talking and shit. And then I realize it's been more than a couple of minutes. I'm like, oh, shit. Yo, I need to get to the airport. What is this dude doing? Because he was still outside in the fucking van. So the manager goes out. She goes and talks to him. And she's like, yo, what's up? And he's like, well, I got to go to the bathroom. So he comes into the bathroom. Whole time, my man, the guy that takes me to the airport a lot, he's there. He's like, yo, I'll just take you. So he goes in the bathroom, asks the kid for the keys. The kid didn't fucking give him the keys. Long story short, with all this shit going on, the kid milked the clock from half past the hour to basically on the hour, and that's how I missed my fucking flight. Because I got to the airport, I got through security just like I said I was going to. Everything worked out. The time that I missed out on was the time that he bullshitted, and that's how I missed my flight. I was fucking livid. You hear me? Fucking livid, without a doubt. Now, there was no recourse because there was no other flight that got me out of Baltimore to Seattle in a timely enough manner to make that happen, for me to get there on time, for me to participate, do everything I wanted / needed to do, so on and so forth. So, you know, I was disappointed. I was pissed off because, again, I played it tight, yes, but I knew the schedule because this is not the first time that I've used that parking location. So I understood everything that I needed to do, and I truly executed everything I needed to do in a timely enough manner. Now, again, my portion in this, should have got there early. Should have, like, yo, just get somebody else to get the ice. I could have got there early, avoided all that. Yeah, absolutely right. I could have done it. But, again, I was definitely in position to execute properly with the time that I had allotted myself if this dude didn't act like a fucking ass and an idiot.
The only,
you know what I'm saying?
I
so,
want to say the only, the only caveat would then be, how much time should we allot other people? That's a very valid question, brother.
Right.
Because I want to tell you, that's really how most marriages fail, or how most friendships break apart. You have a time clock in your head. They have a time clock in their head. And when those those hands start laying on top of each other, it's when the magic happens. But other than that, time management is such a, it's not a family, it's not given like language. It's not given.
Mm-hmm.
Time management, I mean, I know there are billionaires who own CPT time. So it's not, it really is a matter of how, and then people get mad when you give them too much time. I'm telling you, I just fell out with somebody because I gave them, they was ready, and I gave them 27, 30 extra minutes to piddle-paddle like I knew they was going to do, but they was ready.
Mm-hmm.
So that right there, that time management in the mindsets of others, it's almost impossible to be. I mean, if you get that, you're going to win the Matrix. You'll be the figure out the Matrix. You understand? You'll start seeing the code in the Matrix if you can do that, you know?
So that's how it didn't work out. However, it did work out because I went back to the Capitol Jaffa and I linked, Mayo secured me a ticket, came through without a doubt. Saturday was sold out, but again, got a ticket, had a ball. Had an absolute blast with my folk, and that's just how it is and how it was. So it was fucked up on the front end, and trust me, it took me. It didn't take me. It was a very long time for me to calm down through this situation for real, and I still haven't fully calmed down, to be honest with you, because it was still some bullshit. But it is what it is. It's over. Turned out to be a fairly good day, for real.
That's a good secondary lesson, too, brother. How long does it take you to reset your... How long does it take you to hit your mental reset button, you know?
We had a great outing. We had only one incident. Unfortunately, one man went down. He actually broke his ankle, to be honest with you. One of my boys broke his ankle and stuff, so... But, you know, all in all...
Who was y'all doing the electric slide?
It was awesome. Nah, we won't go into how it happened. Let's just say it happened. And,
hopefully he got a good backstory. Because if it's something whack like he broke it trying to step off the curb, that's going to be, man.
We're planning on doing... the Richmond Jazz Festival. So, you know, we're good. We're good. We're truly good. So I'm pissed because I really wanted to be there with and for Bird, without a doubt. But at the end of the day, it didn't turn out too bad. You know what I'm saying? But I'm still pissed and highly disappointed. I mean, I was disappointed in myself for not executing better. I was just livid with the freaking driver because that was uncalled for. It was uncalled for. It was inexcusable, uncalled for. And as I said, you know, this dude just wanted to milk the clock, period. He just wanted to milk the clock. And he did it. He was successful in milking the clock. And I paid the price for that. But, again, it's cool. Still had a pretty decent day. Sunday was whack. Like I said, it was whack just because of the rain. My birthday twin was there. Her sister came through. Her sister could never be around me again in life because I don't like her. No, I'm just joking. We actually had a really good time. We were hanging out and stuff, just cutting up. And that helped soothe some of that pain because I was very much still in pain over that joint. But
I want to talk to you about something though. I want to talk to you about it. We can't quite move forward because I want you to understand. When you do this, when you let anger sit in the driver's seat, as they say, or when you allow your most angry self to be the one in control, you actually poison yourself chemically. Now, a lot of people don't know that there's a stress hormone called cortisol. When you get yourself in that high tizzy where you start sweating, your underarm, your stomach start twisting and you clenching your fist and all that, you are poisoning your brain and you are poisoning your heart muscle with a stress hormone. So it's not just let me look cool, let me calm down. It's let me heal. When you calm yourself, you heal yourself. Okay? It's not a game. And people who don't put that angry minion in the driver's seat, they live longer and they live healthier. It's documented. Cortisol kills. And so when you let, I'm telling you, when you let other people push your buttons enough, excuse me, to let you put that minion in the driver's seat, nobody wins. Even if you get a good argument in and make the other person feel like shit, you poison yourself in the interim. So it's not, you know, you have to get yourself ready to feel better because you don't want other people looking at you and looking at you asking you what's wrong or you don't want to, you have to control that for longevity, for length of life and for health.
But you know, people, you got to be careful of that as a man, period, and especially a man that's dating because comes off to others, specifically women, as you're being callous, you don't care, and or you being extremely cavalier, and I'm like, yo, that's not it at all, because I do totally agree with you, that's not it at all. But what has to happen is, tomorrow must come, and tomorrow can't come and be fruitful if my spirit is still crushed and or going through the motions from today. Like that, in my life, more often than not, those two things cannot exist in the same space at the same time. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I can't be pissed and be happy. Like, that doesn't work for me.
Right.
You know, as
not,
you said,
can't be
I gotta
pissed.
Get up.
And damn happy, you can't be pissed and be healthy.
There you go.
Everybody can't guarantee. Anybody got no guaranteed happiness. That's. You can't be pissed like that and be. I mean, you're gonna blow your stomach out, not as in make it bigger, as in wear a hole in it.
Right. Have all those stresses running up against you.
Don't feel that shit. Them motherfuckers that get you knotted up in the stomach and get your heart
not
racing and make your upper
not
lip fucking sweaty, them bastards
not
don't feel
all.
A motherfucking thing.
Not
except,
at all. Not
except
maybe
a little excitement.
Yeah, from watching you know, being pissed at them and they just sitting there tripping.
Go from 0 to 100, exactly.
Right. And hence the reason that I try not to give them that satisfaction. I try to specifically, I usually do, I specifically stay cool as a fan and a cucumber just to piss them off, to let them know you ain't got to me. You know what I'm saying? That doesn't work. But let's stay on this thread before our guest comes. Chef Kim is going to join us today to talk about, it's a continuation of the series that we started last week. There's an urban farming project popping off in Baltimore, and she's a huge sponsor and integral part of this, and she's going to join us to talk about her leg of that race. And in addition to that, she's going to talk about this carrot cake that got me hooked, like Pookie from New Jack City, because the shit good as hell that she got going on. And she has this invention that she made called Sticky Wing. And I want her to tell that story about how that came out and stuff like that. Yeah, they have an awesome menu down there, Breaking Bread. So if you're ever in Baltimore,
Definitely stop down and see him. It's down in Pigtown. Again, it's called Breaking Bread, spelled just like it's how it sounds. You know, ain't no Ebonics going on with that whatsoever. No play on words, anything like that. Just good-ass food, great atmosphere, great in-house DJ. We'll chat about that a little later. But so Kate Spade offs herself. And look, that's so rough. Look, fuck y'all. She killed herself. You say however you want to say it, that's what she did. Anthony Bourdain did the same this week.
From the outside looking in, to be clear, she hung herself.
From the outside looking in, you're like, man, why would these two folks at the height of their careers, respectively, off themselves? Like, what would make you do something like that? So I took it another step, to be real, and I put it on Facebook. I was like, yo, look, this shit is fucking with me. I'm not even gonna play. This ain't a game for me. Like, let's have this conversation, because I remember being in my teens and dealing with a young lady whom I had known for years, and then we got close, and then we got intimate, and we were sitting around one day, and I was joking about something, and it rubbed her, and she came off, and she was like, well, yo, I've been raped. And I was like, what? You know, as a teen, I had a concept of rape. I knew what rape was, heard about it, saw it on television, not a person. You know what I'm saying? But who in my head, who does that shit for me? You know what I'm saying? That's what clicked in my head. Who does that shit for me? You know? Now, through no fault of her own, she was a young woman who looked like a grown-ass woman. Again, through no fault of her own. And that's not an okay for something like that to happen to her. That's not a reason for something like that to happen to her. It's just her genetics. But it made me really stop and start asking other women that I knew, other young ladies that I knew, had that happened to them. And I was astonished by the number of women that I knew whom this had happened to. I'm like, yo, what the? Who? Again, in my head, who does this shit? That's not some shit that my boys, none of my boys, myself,
You can only vouch for yourself. You can only vouch for yourself. You can only vouch for yourself while you're sober.
You cut me off before I finished. I was going to say the exact same thing that you said. My continuation was going to be that my boys and I had never spoken about, none of us had ever even dabbled in bringing up the subject. So I can only assume that that's what I was going to say, that they had never done it as well. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, yo, I mean, it's something that we actually frowned upon whenever we heard about it. So, again, they could have been playing a high post and been fake, like, oh, hell, you're right. I cannot vouch for them. I can only go by the actions that they showed me and the words they spoke. But that's why I was going to hit that caveat. I assume they had never gone down that road as well. But I know damn certain for sure I ain't never gone down that road. So, it blew me. So,
I like to just, you're asking who does this, and in some form, we've all wanted something from someone else more than they wanted to give it to us. The base root of this kind of transgression is the power it takes to make someone give you something they didn't want to give you. That's the root. Power. Not even sexual. It didn't matter how that little girl looked. The point was, whoever touched her wanted it. And she didn't necessarily want to give it to him, but they had to find a way. People want power, you know, people want to enact powerful behavior on other people all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, we have to be mindful of who he is. We live in a rape culture. We live in a suicide culture. We live in a kill culture. So when you see these behaviors manifest themselves, there's no more why, because it's on TV, because it's in our books, it's in every facet, it's in our music, it's in our TV and movies, and it's in our books. That's why. And it's in all those three things because it happened in the home.
When you say a rape culture, what does that mean? What exactly does that mean?
Let's see. That's a long explanation now. All right. So we live in a culture in where, for one, it's cool for men to have multiple sexual partners. All right? And it is not cool for women to have multiple sexual partners. What does that mean? In order for that to even happen, you would have to be raped. If you have women with a cultural mandate of being feminine and virtuous and you know, mature, sophisticated, clean, and protected, and you have men out here who still have the hunter-gatherer, let me see what I can get mentality, that sets the very foundation for rape mentality. Can you understand? Plus, in America, that fight against the Victorian, puritanical, historical America. America back in the day, America was puritanical. There's no other word for it. Now, they want it, but that ain't what's happening. So, the same thing with suicide, brother. We got a lot of drugs in the United States.
True that.
Legal drugs. A lot of thrill-seeking behavior in this country. I got a really bad feedback coming from me.
Okay. Is that better?
It might be. Let me see. Yes, that's much better. So look, we love our rollers. We love our what they call roller coasters, our ATVs.
Mm-hmm.
We love our guns.
Mm-hmm.
We love being shot out of cannons, catapulted. We love to climb mountains, barely tethered. We're a thrill-seeking country, right? And we got a lot of
sleeping on cots
and stuff.
Sleeping on cots anchored off the end of that damn mountain.
So. We have a suicide culture as well. Thrill-seeking behavior without proper safety mechanism. That's suicide culture.
Mm. Okay.
So what are we saying here? We're seeing the fruits. Not to sound like Malcolm X talking about John Kennedy, but we're seeing the fruits of our culture. Saying that we don't understand why people are killing, raping, and killing themselves and others, and raping and pillaging. That's the foundation of what we've been doing since they rolled up on the beachy sails of South Carolina back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because Columbus technically never made it to the United States. So we're talking about
mm-hmm.
the people who actually made it. So. What are we trying to tell people now that we really care about death culture in America? No, really, do Americans really care about death, rectifying its death culture?
Mm-hmm. No.
So why do we care when one man decides? Why do we care when one man says he's had enough?
To me, it was the string of, you know what I'm saying? So to me, I'm like, all right, one person punches their own ticket. Sad. Tragedy, without a doubt. two people same week punch their own ticket. And not to belittle the everyday John, Jane, and Jim and Juanita, but these are two people that are prominent figures in our culture. I still remember when Anthony Bourdain interviewed President Obama. You know, I remember this guy just traveling anywhere and everywhere and eating with folks. And it's like he seemed like a very well-grounded cat. You know, yes, he was an actor. Yes, he was doing his job. And, you know, one never knows what is truly going on in people's hearts or in their minds. But, damn, like, this dude, you know. And then the note that Kate Spade left for her family, you know, baby, I love you, ask your father. Like, yo, really? That's gangster. That's gangster as hell. Like, you going to take your life, but then you going to tell your daughter, your teenage daughter, to ask your father why you just took your life. Like, wow. That's gangster as hell.
Well, I know a lot of long-term illness, people who get, like, MS diagnosis or late-stage, you know, HIV-type stuff, and that's going to progress to AIDS quickly. They don't want to do the hard work of living ill. It's hard to live with a chronic illness, the pills, the physical therapy. It's real. And I know people who opt out. I've known people to opt out of long-term illness, you know. Also, that Mr. Bourdain was a dual diagnosis sufferer. Do you know what dual diagnosis is? Diagnosis is when you have both a mental illness and an addiction.
Mm.
He was a long-term manic depressive. Okay?
Yeah, and he did both.
First of all, he was a party guy, meaning he started out when he first got hooked, he was on anything. The second time when he finally got his career popping off and went to be a chef and all that good shit, he picked any type of alcohol and opiates. Mr. Bourdain was an opiate user. Them tattoos up and down his arms, some of them was covering up track marks.
Track.
Okay. So when you look at your life and you say, I've made all this money, and what do I want to buy with it? They keep giving me the money, and it's more and more pressure not to buy the one and two things that I want. Plus, he had saw the world, huh? Look how depressed we get from Kansas. You know, you see a lot of the nation. He saw the world. Now, think about the ghettos of Memphis you done seen, you know, Skid Row, you know, how things is popping off in Chicago and Baltimore. Now, multiply that by the world. It's not unreasonable to think about opting out. And let me tell you, it's not a small stream. Prince killed himself. He was smart enough to know that the drugs he was playing with was dangerous. Michael Jackson killed himself. Amy Winehouse killed herself. You understand what I'm saying? These people know that they are playing and dabbling in works that can kill them.
You think the same about Whitney?
ASAP. So do. She had her. That was her third go round with addiction. She had got clean twice.
Again, though, to my question and the responses that I got, it was just
eye-opening, if you will. I mean, first off, I told folks that they had the option of either responding publicly or privately. And the majority of the responses that I got were public. And that in and of itself was like, wow, like, okay, cool. But it was also an opportunity for me to applaud those individuals because they have taken that power back and shared it with everyone else. Like, yo, look, you know, you can get over this. Well, not get over it, but you can get through this and potentially get over it. A lot of it was self-care, self-love, you know, definitely take care of yourself, spend some time with yourself, do the things that make you happy. Stop trying to make everybody else happy all the day and time, which is something that I profess quite often because I truly believe in that. You know, you're not able to make, it's almost impossible for you to make everybody happy. You know, so why not keep some of that happiness for yourself and just let it be? You know, if you're not happy, nothing's going to work. If you're not healthy, nothing's going to work. All those things you're trying to keep up and keep together are all going to fall apart if you're not able to help them along. So if you're not happy, you're not able to help them along. If you're not healthy, you're not able to help those things along. So you have to take care of yourself. You have to take care of yourself, which takes me back to conversation I had Tuesday, because I'm leaving and I'm thinking about black guilt. And if you haven't seen it, there's an interview with Trevor Noah and Oprah about this very subject. And how they broached the subject was he was saying how his mom promised that she would not leave him with, she said, she may not leave, I may not be able to leave you with a penny, son, but I'll be able to leave you without any black guilt because I will deal with that for you. And that's something that folk who are doing okay or are perceived to be doing okay tend to deal with from folk around them who have no clue as to what it really looks like to be doing okay. And it's difficult to sell them on that notion and get them to understand that if they're not in those shoes, and they tend not to be, you know, it's that cousin, that brother, that sister, that aunt, that uncle, whomever, who always, you know, hey man, let me get a couple of dollars. I know you got it. You know, like, no, I don't. Well, you do this and you do that. Yes, but do you understand I have to plan for that? Those things have to be planned. I don't just wake up one day and charge $2,000 on the credit card. That shit is planned out. If I charge, it's like, okay, I charge $2,000 on the credit card. I'm going to put $500 on it this week. Every week from, you know, now until it's paid off, I'm going to put $150 on until it's paid off and it's done. But if I put $150 on the credit card every week from now until it's paid off, after I put that initial $500 on, how am I going to compensate for the $150 that I'm taking out every week? You dig what I'm saying? That shit just doesn't happen. You know, it's no different than you owning a business. And I think we have our guest on now. Kim, if you are on, hit the number one on your phone and I can bring you up more easily that way. If own a business, if you own a property, multiple properties, whatever, it matter. You know, folk don't understand from the outside looking in that more money equals more problems. And just because you may have $5 more than the next man or the next woman, that doesn't mean that you still don't have responsibilities that either meet that $5 extra that you have or exceed that $5 extra that you have. So it's not just easy lending or giving away, though. So yeah, that's some heavy shit. And you know, these folks are prominent who have decided to end it all. While I don't consider that to be an option for me, because I've never been in that way, I can see how it may be an option for others. That doesn't mean I agree. That doesn't mean I disagree, but I can see how that could be an option for others. And I'm not going to sit by, stand up, or any damn thing else and judge them for what they did. My whole point about diving into this discussion, my whole point about that post was just to let folks know that are in my circle, that I love, that I care about, that, yo, if that's how you feeling, if that's how you felt, you know, holler at your boy. I might not be able to prevent you from doing it, but I at least want you to know that I appreciate you, I love you, and there's a whole lot of value that you bring into my life every day, be it I say that to you consistently or not, without a doubt. And with that being said, we will transition to our guest, Chef Kim, whom on occasion I will tell her that I appreciate her, especially when she got my damn carrot cake. But then I will take it away when she don't have it. And then when she starts talking that madness about whose high school is better than whom's, I just hang up the damn phone on her ass because we ain't even getting into that kind of stuff. Oh, hey, Kim.
We already know the answer,
though.
Hey, boo.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Say,
and you wrong.
Say good morning to Rashi.
It is
good morning.
Whatever.
Good morning.
Say hello to Rashi.
I apologize for not being there for your last discussion, and please, I want to apologize also in advance for any questions that I have that you previously answered. I'm super excited, though, because I believe this is a revolutionary concept that you guys are enacting. So I'm eager to learn this morning.
See that? I hang around with smart people. See what I'm talking about?
Look, iron
you be talking,
iron.
You be talking
iron
about all kinds
iron.
Of trash.
Oh,
okay, so we have this, well, I'm sorry, not we. You have this urban farming project that the little bully, Hey Cat, is spearheading. And, yeah, because, you know, that's how I call it, the little bully. It's spearheading, and I'm very much thankful and grateful that you all thought about us to bring us into the fold with you all as you do this walk. So first, please introduce yourself, let the folks know about you and what you do, and then let's talk about the project. You know, what was the spark, what's the purpose, and what's the culmination?
Okay. Well, my name is Kimberly Ellis. I'm the owner of Break and Bread Restaurant in Pigtown, Baltimore City. It was rated number one kid-friendly restaurant in the state by the Food Network, and also Baltimore's Best Bet by the Food Network, as well as what my favorite is, the city paper named us Best Wings. And so if you know anything about Baltimore, the city paper is like the Bible, so that was awesome. And they have come from the best school in the world, Baltimore City College High School. It was extra special because we won that award. So we really, there was a delay. You knew you wanted to see in the background. Don't even play. But no, so coming from being a Baltimore City, you know, resident and growing up in West Baltimore, the food was a really big part of growing up. In terms of, it was kind of weird to have corner stores because I lived in a house with my grandparents and we would go to farms and we'd go fishing and crabbing and things like that. And so there was never what I would consider a lack of produce in a corner store because that was never where I would necessarily go to get it. And so as I got older and I came to understand, you know, when my grandparents would go and we would have an abundance of our own, he would go around and give it to the neighbors and make sure, you know, his friends had produce or extra fish or whatever. So you kind of get a sense of community within what food allows you to do. And so as I grew older, I got, I have my background in criminal justice. I actually did reentry and penal reform for about 20 years and acquired 2 bachelor's and 2 master's in my field because it was something that was really important to me. Coming from a community where you kind of see the impact of police brutality, felon disenfranchisement, and things of that nature. But a lot of the core issues started in the home, and in the environment. And so for me, my home was always around food. And we kind of found that a lot of people didn't have that. And so we started breaking bread. But when we started breaking bread, we had already started a nonprofit piece of that, which was Trumanity. And Trumanity kind of brings us to the urban farm. And so what Trumanity is, it's a nonprofit program that recognizes that there are food deserts in Baltimore City and that you have 5 to 6 schools within Baltimore City who were neither proficient in math, English, or science, and 5 of them were high schools. And so you can relate that, believe it or not, back to kids who have a meal with their family. It decreases the likelihood that they go and have, you know, drug interactions, but to utilize drugs. It decreases the, you know, suicide rate, which is, you know, currently a top rated discussion because kids so vested and have access. And when they
don't,
you see what happens with the protests in Baltimore.
Miss Kim.
Yes, ma'am.
I think you just struck an extremely important chord. I need you to expound on that again, because see, you pulled the string, but I don't think they understand that there's a direct correlation between the type of food being served in the home and the behaviors and the capabilities of the mindsets that are then out in the world from that home. And you're telling us that what you put on the table in front of your children has an effect on how they perform in school, which then has an effect on how they perform in society and maybe whether or not they go to jail.
Really does impact just even their access to community, in terms of how they feel about themselves, in terms of how they address others. A lot of conversations, especially for us as African Americans or blacks or, you know, whatever word strikes a chord with you personally, for us as a people, we've always had the sense of community around food. We've always looked to make sure that, you know, our neighbors were well fed, or, you know, if we grew something, or having dinner together and having that talking time, kind of like a barbershop or at a beauty salon for the adults. But at a kitchen table was where you would talk to your kids about what's going on in their lives, being able to see them on a daily or address them daily. I have 4 kids, and so growing up with the children, you get those magical hours of what I would always call getting them washed, fed, and put to bed, like 6 to 9. And so you miss a lot of opportunity to really address what their needs are. But from a health perspective, access to fresh produce and fruits and vegetables cover a myriad of issues. We have childhood obesity and diabetes and things of that nature within our community because most of the foods that they get are fast food, carry out, processed, GMO, non-organic foods. But the beauty of the program itself is that it addresses a myriad of issues. So what we do is that we develop a program where we give people Trumanity boxes, which are kind of like, I would say, a HelloFresh box or, you know, where you have the meal kit with the recipes. And we tell families that we want them to cook together twice a week, utilizing those recipes, and we give them the produce, we give them the protein, all of the salt, pepper, you know, whatever we're doing, olive oil. And they're committed to cooking with their children for a couple hours a day. For 2 days a week. And what that allows is, one, it allows the child to have dialogue with the parents. It allows the parents to capture that child within a time frame. So if that child comes in and, is, you know, my kids say they lit on Monday or they're over the moon on Monday, and then when you're going to cook dinner on Thursday, they seem to be down in the dumps, you have an opportunity now to address your child and say, okay, look, what's going on with you? I thought that you were, you know, you were excited on Monday, and now such and such happened. What's going on with you? And that gives a child a safe place to be able to talk and to be able to have access to communicate, because that rage, PTSD, all of those things, our kids' issues are on a daily basis. So kind of tying in the urban farm to that, there's something to be said for being able to cultivate and nurture and to grow something and to care for it and to tend to it. And so all of those aspects of humanity are met between teaching a child to have a sustainable way of living. Because let's not forget about, you know, the revenue or the job creation that comes from having a farm or the sustainability of a farm, or being able to produce a product that is great in a community that looks like where you came from, and you're giving people something that's healthy. There's a moral, you know, thing that happens with that, where a moral reward, I'll say. Because for me, even in the restaurant, I don't feed anybody anything that I don't eat. We get our stuff from local farms, and we do try to access minority farms over in West Baltimore, where we are. We do free cooking classes for kids so that people can understand, okay, this is an eggplant. Because you may have access to a supermarket, but if you don't know what yucca is or yuca is or eggplant is or how to cook it, then you're not going to pick that up. You're going to go straight to corn or, you know, canned peas or something like that, and you're not really accessing what's really there for you. So part of the lesson
and even more important, these grocers, they're not going to buy what you don't – they're not going to provide what you don't buy. They'll fill the bins
exactly.
up with onions and potatoes if that's what they keep selling out of. And so it's up to us to purchase these items, if nothing else, but to keep the variety at our local grocer up.
And show people how to use it in terms of cooking. Like, you don't have to use, no offense, ham hocks and things in collard greens to make them taste good. Smoked turkey is a great alternative. You could use olive oil instead of, you know, bacon fat. And that's part of the program, because we're teaching them how to take all of the things that they love to cook, macaroni and cheese, and make them healthier. But whereas they still taste like something that you want to eat. We do turkey bacon and turkey ham in the restaurant. And I can tell anybody who ever wants to come in, hands down, my turkey ham tastes just like my grandma's pork ham that she gave a red eye gravy. You're not able to tell a difference. And so if you're now eating healthy, lower sodium, the health impacts are there. But also, children who have a meal with their families or who cook dinner with their families are less likely to have interaction with police. They're less likely to use drugs. Their math, English, and science scores tend to be higher because cooking with someone actually increases those things. But the best part of our program is that we got a wonderful, wonderful woman, Wendy Blackwell, who journals for us with our families. And so they're creating an heirloom cookbook where they're having, you know, they're talking about their relationships with food when they first came to the class. In terms of, you know, I didn't have a lot of food growing up, or, you know, I was told by my mother that, you know, a young lady only puts a certain portion on her plate. So now, you know, I undereat or people have body issues. Like, food is such an intrinsic part of what we do every single day. It's something that across the board, hands down, regardless of race, culture, environment, people are doing every day. And so if you are able to control that and find a way to make yourself healthy physically or mentally, then why not introduce that as well?
So I want to get back to what you do at the restaurant, because you said that you source as best you can from locally, which is awesome. But you've done some unique things that I want you to share, because you mentioned how the city takes your wings. Your wings are the best. But what's so special about your wings?
I don't know. They are good. I made the sauce at home. Like I said, I have four kids.
What's
so
the sauce?
I love to cook. Just
what's the sauce? Because they don't know. I know.
Sticky sauce.
Oh, okay.
You gotta get your sticky white.
I know, but they don't know. So talk about the stuff, girl.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. What's up with the
sticky
white?
Anybody listening, I'm trying to get that sauce on Oprah's Best List, so let me know. I think she needs to taste the sauce. It goes great on everything. People get it on French fries, burgers. I'm still partial to the salmon with the sauce on it. It's phenomenal. But it's a little sweet, a little spicy, garnished with cilantro, green onions. But it's about food and family and community. Like, I'm living my dream. I've done reentry and penal reform for 20-plus years. I loved what I did. So to deal with the frailty of the human spirit and to see the bigger picture, or the matrix, as I like to put it, and to know just from a systemic aspect, a lot of it isn't the fault of the person. And so for me as a person, growing up the way that I did, I grew up in the hood, but I grew up, you know, with grandparents and a mom who really taught me that it was important to be morally responsible for someone else. And, you know, food was a big part of growing up. You know, you had two choices at dinner, take it or leave it. And on Saturday mornings, you get up, you clean the house, and your grandmother's in there. You know, my grandmother made fresh biscuits from scratch, and we would shuck the peas for dinner. Like, that was everything to me. See what it does for kids who don't have that, or to come in an environment where we do Girl Scouts. Best example I can give. We do Girl Scouts. And to have these young ladies come in, and they're like 7 or 8 years old, and they're making their own, you know, dressing. I've had to tell fathers on numerous occasions, do not ever tell your daughter this is better than her mom's. But we get that, like, so much. And to see these little kids beam, and they're like, no, you know, I made that. This is really good. Just to see that self-confidence and to have them know that this was not even something that they thought about, but look, I did it, and it's a bomb. Like, how can you not love that?
Okay, so
Hello.
You got the sticky wings. You have the sticky wings, and then you have the awesome fries, which are my second favorite next to the carrot cake. And we're going to have to talk about that because I came through yesterday and there wasn't no carrot cake there. So, you know, I took issue with that because you're supposed to tell me that before I come. You're supposed to warn me before I get there. That ain't gonna be no carrot cake.
No. I got you though, but I gotta tell you about the awesome fries because we hire a lot of young inner city kids, and some of them have gone to like local culinary high schools to get their trades. These kids are phenomenal. We get our beef down, we butcher it for the awesome beef. So we don't do a lot like prepared foods, frozen foods. When that beef comes in, they're butchering that beef down. When our greens come in, you know, they're shucking or cleaning collards. It is amazing, and they're good. Like, anybody that come in, you can look at our reviews. I'm not in the kitchen cooking all day. My guys in there and young ladies are phenomenal. Phenomenal. But my first hire was from a kid in culinary college who came and told me he couldn't get a job anywhere else. He went downtown and couldn't get a job anywhere else. And we hired him, and he's fantastic. He's now gone on to bigger and better, and that's who we are. We're that stepping stone. When you come in and someone like you comes in and you talk about what you do and what you bring to the community, another little kid who has that gift of, you know, the verbal or, you know, is deep in thought or eloquent, there's a place for them. When they come in and they see, you know, people who are farming and that are cool and they understand that farming is an actual college degree and that you can own property and you could have sustainable living, and you could create a legacy for your family and not just life for your family. It's a wonderful thing to think outside the box. There's not just two ways out of the hood, and I'm not talking against anybody who chooses to go the sports route or the music route, but trust and believe there's a myriad of possibilities for everything that God gave you. If you're not physically inclined or you're not, you know, vocally or artistically inclined, there's still a place for you. There's something that you can do that God gave you, and that's what you do.
I never did attest to that statement, Miss Kim. I never did think that they did the true justice of being an intellectual innovator or being someone who's skilled in a craft has always been able to wait to get above. And just the concept of getting out of the hood itself is a bad idea. There's... People think it's a place. In the eyes of man, the hood is in the hearts and heads of the black, you know, a black family. It's that family, that kitchen you want us to congregate around. That's the hood in other people's minds. And so when we start talking about running, we're running from the very spice, not just pun intended. We're running from the very spice of life that is offered from being in the hood, in the hood kitchen, and cooking up community and culture and cooking up long-term health. I was just telling a friend that you can tell by how someone was raised by how they age. You know, you have these people out here, you have people out here refusing, what I say, refusing to age, and it's simply because for one, they started early. You know, most of them started with a fairly good diet early. And the rest decided that they wanted to eat the way they did when they were young and in the South. Not the pig's ears and pork per se, but even that in moderation, right? Moderation.
Yes, ma'am.
Because you can grow fat on organic food, you know. So I tell people moderation. I'm really proud of the work you've done, Kim. Miss Kim, to jump industry, what you've done is you've jumped industry three times. You think you've only switched once, but you've actually switched twice because you've gone from correction, you know, from the criminal justice field to the family, you know, family rehabilitation field, and now, you know, nutrition, hospitality, teaching, instruction field. Being able to see the value in Stone A and use it in Endeavor C, that's the work of a genius. That's what they say prodigies
tell
do. No, I'm trying to tell you, this is what they say prodigies do. They learn something in Move A that helps them master Move Z. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, ma'am.
First off,
I'm flattered.
You are not going to bring Ed into this negativity. We are not going to attack my brother.
You always
that's
on his
right,
because
that's
let,
my brother.
Speaking of your brother,
that's my brother,
let me just say this, because, and I so appreciate what you said, but for me, my life has always been led by a sense of service. Like, I grew up, my grandfather was a pastor, and I grew up kind of, you know, who's and whom you belong to.
Uh-oh.
And what's expected
Uh-oh.
Of
She's
you,
a PK.
Then
Uh-oh.
You can either choose to not do that, and there are consequences for that, or you can choose to do that, and there are consequences for that. I've always
Stop right there.
What?
Say that again, because people understand that concept, that there are consequences, both positive and negative, for whatever you do. When people think about consequences, they think of consequences as always with a negative signal attached to it, and it's not that way at all. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I need you to let that sink in for some folk, because some folk, you know, ain't getting that right now. So, you know, slap them some fire. Now it's something like Pastor Thomas, right? From New Shallow. Slap them some fire.
They also need to know that sometimes when they waiting for an answer from God, no, it's an actual answer. You're not just waiting on a yes to come through. If he answers no, it is still an answer. I don't know. Like, I grew up knowing that I was one, my brother's keeper, that there but for the grace of God go I. And those tenets are how, you know, when I met my husband, it's what drew me to him. And when we created our family, it's what we taught them. But when you know something, it's shameful to just keep it to yourself and think you better somebody that you know could use the information. A lot of the things and a lot of the blessings and accolades that we get truly are not for our benefit. It's to be able to be a blessing for somebody else, right? If you kept your hands closed with your blessing in it, you can't get nothing in, you can't get nothing out, and you're going to suffocate whatever's in there, so that's going to die on a vine. So you have to be open and receptive to making sure that you can be the best possible type of person for someone else. Like, we have kids in the neighborhood. If they're hungry, they come in. We feed the homeless. We don't get donations, you know, in the restaurant, but this is what we're supposed to do. Like, that's what you're supposed to do. And so that's what we do. And we're still here. A lot of still there. And the urban farm is because we really want kids to see the beauty of being able to grow something on their own. The camera is the way to be able to, you know, take care of
family. Hold on. We're losing you. There's a lot of feedback coming in, and I'm trying to clear that up. So what you just said is very important, but it got lost in the feedback. So say that one more time about the Urban Farm and its importance, please.
The Urban Farm is important for one, from an aesthetic standpoint. It's important for kids to look out and see beauty in their neighborhood, to smell lavender and basil growing. Like the aromatics of it, you know, you have aromatherapy. If you're looking at the big picture, like it hits all the components. If you have a child that's learning that they, by their own hands, can plant something and nurture it and watch it grow, the pride in and of itself, the protection, those compassion, the empathy, that those are emotions that you want children to show and outside them. But it goes bigger about math and science, and you're giving them self-esteem, and you're creating a path for them to self-sufficiency, where they can be self-sufficient in their community, they can own a farm, they can actually do marketing for a farm. You can look at Purdue. Purdue is bigger than just chicken. It is a conglomerate. And so all of the aspects of growing a business, if you're coming at it from a farm-based standpoint, you understand the back end as well as the front end. So it's just a way of our kids being able to have more advantages. But at a
do you all, Miss Kim, do you all ever leave the urban core and go see what an industrial farm looks like? What do the children get to see? What it takes to bring it to the ground?
For the kids? No, ma'am. We have not had an actual class. This is the actual vision of what we're looking to do within the urban farm. So we don't have a class, but overall, this is what I'm saying. If we're in, particularly when women talk, it tends to be that, you know, it's assumed that we're just speaking emotionally, and we're talking straight statistics. We're talking from a scientific standpoint. It improves the quality of life overall for our kids. To be able to go to a college for a four-year scholarship for any reason is excellent, and we're working with, you know, different organizations to make that happen.
So you're shooting for the entire month of June for this project to go from start to finish, with the culmination being a cook-off at the end of the month, correct?
Correct, but the dates actually changed. We're working out some kinks, and we'll have a new date for you. We'll definitely let you know when that date's going to be.
Okay, that's cool. All right. Well, again, I want to wrap with you, given the location of the brick and mortar restaurant, and letting folks know how to find you on social media. The restaurant, that is, not you personally, but the restaurant on social media. And we look forward to continue to talk to you about the series and being with you at the wrap, doing a live broadcast in the wrap.
Located at 771 Washington Boulevard in Hicktown area of Baltimore, Maryland.
Hold on. One more second. Are you moving? Because I think the feedback is coming from your line.
No, but let me move my car, because I'm sitting in the car with
that. That might be. Are you using the car speaker?
Well, I'm on mute.
It's okay. You might want to take us off of the bud and just go with the hand for half a second.
All right, cool.
Yeah, no problem.
Is that better?
We got to get this. Girl, look, I can hear you now. I can hear
honey, you take that phone straight back to whoever you got it from, and you tell them, no, sir.
Yes,
you tell them, you tell them, oh, no, sir.
It's
that
okay.
Is un-American.
It's okay. We going to work it out. Now, go ahead. Now talk to us so we can hear what you're talking about, because people need to know where you're at. So
okay.
Please tell them how to connect with you on social media and where you are.
Okay, so Breaking Bread is located at 771 Washington Boulevard in the Pigtown section of Baltimore,
mm-hmm.
right off of MLK and Washington Boulevard. We are open Tuesday through Sunday. We do a great brunch. Our Instagram is BreakingBread771, and our Twitter is BreakingBread01. We do dinner and discussions. We have a second floor available for different organizations to discuss anything that is uplifting and positive for our community. And what else is there to say? Oh, we provide great food for all humanity.
That's
oh, and the sticky wings.
Y'all hear the slogan at the end of that, y'all?
Yeah,
the
great food for all humanity.
That, you know what? I
Kim,
ain't even on front.
Miss Kim,
I'm
not
that
going
waffle,
to have ladies long. Miss Kim, you are a true inspiration. Okay.
Thank
may
you
the
so
power
much.
May the power you are putting into those children exponentially increase. And I look forward to traveling to Baltimore and tasting some of this sticky meat you're talking about.
Sticky wings, not sticky meat. You're gonna get me in trouble.
Oh, it's I'm sorry.
I do want to say this. I cannot
well,
do any
you
of what
talking
I
about sticky
alone.
Meat.
So I do want to shout out my husband, Edward Ellis. So, you know, my husband,
that's
Edward
right,
Ellis, and my
that's
best friend,
right.
Catherine Ennis, and my family, and Framley, and Breaking Bread Nation. Like, we could never do what we do without any of the components. But, yeah, they definitely allow my vision to go through with all of their hard work and their dedication, and it's always a labor of love, and I love and thank them for it. So I'm extremely grateful.
I was in there working yesterday. Did they tell you?
No, nobody told me you was in there working. I was in there yesterday. I ain't seen you.
Working on a plane? Wait, were you
I just
eating?
Missed. No, I'm serious. I'm serious. Now you know good and daggone well, if a big party come in, I'm always going to help out. I'm in there bussing tables and all kinds of stuff. And networking.
Quality.
It's family.
Quality.
I don't mind.
I think it's called quality testing, quality control testing is what it is.
No, I'm serious. Right. I'm. Look, if a big party comes in and I'm there, ain't no way in the hell I'm gonna sit there and act like I ain't doing shit. You out your tree. That is my fault. I am going to help them be successful. You out your damn tree. No, that table need to be clean. Y'all just sit there right here. Give me 1 second. Give me a rag. I'm clean your table. What, y'all need menu? Give me some menu.
You really got him turned out on that carrot cake.
I'm not
Look, that's the only place that I go that I can never leave. That I can never leave on time. I go down there for 20 minutes. I leave 3 hours late.
Yeah, that's the conversation. That's what we there for. Exactly. See. That's how you know you found the right place. Yo, my best compliment was we had an elderly woman come in, and she said, baby, I felt a shift when I came in the building. And it just, that was everything to me.
Wow.
Like, that said it all.
Yeah, that's
because
hot.
That's what we want.
That's hot. That's
yes.
Hot. Yeah,
so,
you know, I mean, come on.
Come on, Dave.
I don't do that for everybody. Yeah, I don't.
That way, if you bought top shelf,
yeah.
You know you're drinking top shelf.
Mm-hmm. I don't do that for everybody, and I don't do that, you know, every place, but. That's my folks, man. Ain't no way in the world I'm just going to chill. And, you know, they got other folks in there, too, and then a large party just gang rushing at one time. Like, no, we ain't doing that. And we ain't having no folks leaving no bad damn comments on Google because you know how folk will do. Oh, yeah, we ain't doing that. So let's attack this right now while I'm here. Let's go on. What y'all need? Mm-hmm. Y'all need water? I'll be right back.
I want to congratulate you again for making this a commercial endeavor because a lot of people are pushing urban or guerrilla growing, but they're not doing it for, you know, retail. They just want each community to have somewhere, you know, to go in case of, I guess, power failure or something. I don't know. But our community has about 4 different community gardens, but no one is using that food to actually feed the community in the capacity that you and your husband have been able to divine. I think it's super smart. I mean, it's because it rots on the vine. You know, it rots on the vine
exactly.
Sometimes.
And there's a Breaking Bread, too, coming in 2019. It's going to be over by Coppin State University. And one of the big things that we're excited about, yes, we break ground this month. 2019 is when it'll open. But one of the best parts was that we get to have a huge kitchen. And what we want to do is to have the community come, particularly the young people in the community come maybe once a month and cook dinner for the seniors in that community. And that way, I feel, you know, it'll, you know, it kind of ties those bonds because now, you know, Miss Johnson likes 2 extra pieces of cornbread. When she's helped getting her groceries out of the car, you know, you may be inclined to help her. It's, I don't know. It's just we lose so much of our humanity and our the way that we relate to people because everything's done electronically now. Everybody's texting each other and calling. So the, you know, the human voice and the human touch.
Hold on. I need you to say that again because there's somebody that always be texting me, and every time she texts me, I'd be like, why don't you just call me? Because I don't want to call you. And I was like, yo, you can call me. I ain't saying no names, but she's short. And, you know, she a bully. That's what I call her. I'm just saying. I'd be telling her every time. Just call me.
She is busy. She's multitasking, trust and believe.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, mm-hmm. I just, you know, it's really important. And I think what you'll find is where you have a lot of those, you know, there was something on the news where one of the young kids who had committed a crime was just like, you know, he really didn't know the person, so he didn't really care. And, okay, but if you look at that person as a person or you know that that's somebody else's brother or, you know, and you have a brother, then you can relate, you know, to understand sympathy and empathy for a situation. I just think that that's missed and that this is a way that we can start bringing that back over food. If, you know, dinner wasn't important or family meals weren't important, you wouldn't have state dinners or, you know, things where heads of state come together to discuss world issues. And they do that by breaking bread with one another because it lowers those walls that people put up. It makes you more amenable. It makes you more communal. It makes you more human and relative.
Yes, it does.
So,
and it helps bring cultures together. I just served Filipino food the other day, and my guests had never had it before. And I only learned it, how to make it because of my Filipino neighbor. You're absolutely right. It is one of the surefire ways to cross culture.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. That music, and we have plenty of great music at Breaking Bread, too. All the videos you want to see, all the oldies but goodies, the new ones. Yeah. So, I don't know. We just,
well, again,
I just want to be that place that I remembered. You know, I look at like a pinball machine. You know, you had those bumpers, you know, when you see, I'm kind of dating myself, but you know, like pinball machines, like back in the day when you would pull the thing and the ball would shoot around and you had the bumpers, like all the bells and whistles go off and it shoots you all over. And then you have the ones that like took you straight down to the well. And so when I look at life, like I want Breaking Bread. I want myself. I want my, you know, I want us to be one of those bells and whistle bumpers. I want when people cross our path or our energies are exchanged that, you know, it increases the level of their trajectory, that they feel like they can go further and do more and be better or, you know, even just feel appreciated. You know, we're here for everybody. Mm. I don't care what you are. Let's just, you know, we are a Black-owned restaurant. I'm all for the uplifting of, you know, people of color. However, we are here for everybody. If there's somebody who don't have nobody, come to Breaking Bread. You'll have a building full of people who will respect you and, you know, we have healthy dialogue, and that's how you understand people. I can't assume that I know something about somebody. I can ask them directly, what's it like for this? Or my assumption was this, am I wrong in that? And that's how you come to understand, not just from fake news or, you know, keyboard bullies or fake statistics. I mean, you can meet a real person in that demographic and ask them a question, and 9 times out of 10, they're willing to answer because that's what we do.
You are such a powerful voice.
We will end on that. Thank you so much, sister. Thank you for your time.
Such a powerful voice.
I love you. Thank you so much for the opportunity. And don't forget, we'll have the new date sent out to you guys. And keep up with our social media for different, you know, events that we have at the restaurant that you may want to be a part of.
When is the new menu coming up? When is the summer menu coming up?
The summer menu will start probably at the end of June. So I only have a couple more weeks to get that printed and out. But a lot more salads, a lot healthier, all of our soups and stuff we do from scratch. So they're pretty healthy to begin with. Our most popular is the turkey kale potato, and it has four ingredients, which is Italian turkey sausage, kale, potato, and chicken broth. And that's pretty much it. So,
all right, sis, you be good.
And carrot cake.
I'm going to have to walk the box.
Plenty, plenty of carrot cake.
Thank you so much.
Why would she start
so that?
All
right.
She pulled your trigger at the end, got you good.
Girl, you don't understand. That carrot cake is so moist and juicy. It reminds me of a... Anyhow, I'll talk to you later,
baby.
Peace.
You know what? This conversation will last. I love you guys. Have a great weekend.
Saying.
Thanks so much.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying, that thing is so good. It's a slice of heaven. I swear for the Lord.
I ain't gonna argue.
But,
I ain't gonna argue. Yeah. I got a slice over here. We got a place like that over here, not quite like that, not that innovative, but a black owned business. They got some cake I call the husband. I buy the cake and I take it to bed and sit it on the other side of the bed.
That's it, right?
Never mind. Move forward. Let's go.
I ain't mad at you. Look, one of my respondents to the suicide question is like, well, you know, I really just started self-love and, you know, doing things with myself every day. I was like, yeah, I do. I love myself. I practice self-love of myself at least twice a day. Oh, I'm sorry. We weren't talking about that. I didn't say some shit I wasn't supposed to say. My mother caught that comment, though. That wasn't so good. But she saw it. She was like, kick your ass. But man, you know, it's just me being stupid. It's just me being me. In all honesty, I was going to get back to our normal swing where we go into politics and all this and all that. Nah, not feeling that. This week was too somber for that. I don't want to get into that muckety muck. But I do want to congratulate the Washington Capitals on winning their first Stanley Cup championship, and I also want to congratulate the Golden State Warriors for winning their third NBA championship within the past 4 years. That's a hell of a feat. LeBron and the Cavaliers came up way short. It was a sweep. It was 4-0. He had no help. It was obvious. It's obvious, too, that 9 times out of 10 he will be leaving Cleveland this year in order to pursue another championship somewhere else. I wish the best for he and the Cavaliers, as well as the Golden State Warriors, knowing that they will not go to the White House to see Boo Boo the New Fool, whom this week disinvited the Philadelphia Eagles as they were slated to come through to celebrate their championship after they disinvited themselves. So, yeah, I said I wasn't going to go there. I'm not going to go there.
Sis, I mean, when you talk about, okay, see, but what I would like to go there, but not in the instance that you go in there. I'd like to talk about morale. I'd like to talk about morale, individual morale and group morale.
Mm-hmm.
When you are trying to, when you are winning and losing as a, if you're not a unit, you're not going to win. If it's a bunch of people out there being individual, if it's what I call an artist collective, a bunch of sports artists out there doing a thing on the court field, you know, whatever thing, course, whatever, for whichever respect to sport, if you're not in unison, you're not a team. If you are a team and some of your team members say, hey, man, this was wrong and this is why it was wrong. If you can't hear that argument, if you can't bow out or opt in or whatever it is based on a valid argument that your team, that you're in unison with, has brought forth, then nothing will work after that. It will become a fulcrum or a pivotal point in the team in which we were together and then we weren't, or we weren't together and then we united against a cause. And then now we are together. That's what's happening. So you have to decide, Lee, where does the concept of team end and begin?
For me, it ends when I say it begins. I have no clue, but no, seriously, like, this boy. Okay, I had to take a breath. All right, so the critical element that, okay, the critical element that's missing is leadership. And I've often said this, and I was with my brothers, and I was very fortunate and blessed to be with two of them this week. And we were speaking of the direction in which the country is going. And I said openly that I felt Bush put us on a very solid path toward the end of his presidency. Now, in the beginning, he was a fucking mess. He was a hot mess. He was an idiot, without a doubt. But toward the end, I think he really started seeing that there was a legacy to be left there, and he really started playing to that legacy. Obama picked it up and pushed it even further. All this boy had to do, all he had to do, was keep the ship on course. Now, you can put some paint here, you can change a room there, it doesn't matter, as long as the ship stays on course. And this boy has decided to just go left, period. Go break everything that was already laid down just because it wasn't him that did it. And then, you know, all these distractions are happening. And I promise you, the biggest thing that's happening before everyone's eyes that no one is talking about over and over again, save us, maybe a mention or two on Fix News, maybe a mention, because they don't want people to know, and a mention or two on MSNBC, I've seen the stacking of the courts. The New York Times actually wrote an article about this. I think it was last week they wrote it up. The stacking of the courts. When you are breaking as many laws as these cats are breaking, you need people who are going to look favorably upon you. And that is what they are doing. In the wake and path of all this destruction, they are laying down safety nets, right, left, and center. And that's where we are right now, versus keeping us on a strong, steady path that was already laid. You want to break every fucking thing, and then for your own ass, lay down safety nets for you and your cronies. Fuck everybody else. And that's what they're doing. So it's going to end years from now, when someone comes in and does what Trump did when he came in, when he dismissed all those prosecutors, someone's going to have to come in and dismiss a group of judges. Like, you know, you got to go. You got to go. And replace them with some folk whom are more centric.
I mean, brother, adjudication in America has always been iffy at best. I don't
right.
see... What you're talking about is he broke the third leg on an already hobbled horse. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
This system is so clearly flawed that, you know, most people, it's literally a kangaroo court. Have you ever heard the term kangaroo court?
Basically, yep. Yep.
You
absolutely.
Know, it's literally a kangaroo court. I've sat down, I have gone down to my local courthouse and just sat there and watched. I watched him give two different sentences to two different people to the exact same crime, driving without a license.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So this is not, it's not to fire the judges, my friend. It's to totally revamp the system all the way down to the, what is the lady who type of, the stenographer. Somebody needs to
get the stenographers out there. You got
to
get the stenographer out there.
We need to come all the way down to the stenographer and get her fat, funky ass out of there.
Understand? I thought
all
I was bad. You
the, and in my opinion, we need to figure out how many of these bailiffs is Klansmen. So I'm listen. The whole it's a sham. It's the shiniest turd I have ever seen in my life.
From the rooter to the tooter, huh? From the rooter to the tooter.
It's literally a gold and diamond encrusted pile of shit. And I just came from, and let me tell you how deep it goes. I just came from our Missouri state legislation. We had Malcolm X's birthday down there. I sat there with the class, with our school class of three different grades, and we sat there and listened to them try to decide whether or not it's important for kids to have to wear helmets when they ride in their ATV. That's an all-terrain, you know, the little three-wheelers.
Mm-hmm.
The three and four wheelers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they sat there and batted it around for a while, and they was talking about how the having to buy the helmet was going to increase the money because they not going to buy the helmet. And then they was talking about if they do buy the helmet, they going to not buy the ATV because they're not going to be able to have the same amount. When they got through talking about it, Lee, they said, no, kids don't need no helmets. It don't matter how many of them die. The children watched them do this. The children sat there with their mouths wide open watching grown-ups say that the... Because them kids don't have no... Poor little black kids don't have no all-terrain vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
They said it's cool for them rich farm kids to run around without a helmet. Sat there with his with their our mouths wide open. So this is how deep the rot goes. And so when you say there's a court jester in the big seat, that's right, because it's a circus.
That it is, and that it is.
Now what I want to know is how long before we start saying forget it. Let's start at the grassroots. Let's start house to house. And this is my new initiative. It's called House to House. What's your neighbor doing? What's the next neighbor doing? And how's your next neighbor doing? And on until your community has a decent grocery store, a decent, you know, a couple of bus stops to get back and forth through the city, like that. Because we if you're waiting on it to trickle down government, it ain't going to work. It's about grassroots complaints. If you don't take it to your city councilman, if you and your neighbors don't drive some kind of neighborhood, what they call, not watch, the neighborhood association document, talking about, I want a sidewalk, you have to tell the city and the state that you want a sidewalk. They bat it around to see whether or not you're going to actually walk on the motherfucker. And then if they think you enough people is in the community to actually walk on it, they'll throw some concrete down there. That's how it gets. You wait on Trump's infrastructure bill to tack on your sidewalk, you'll be sitting there walking in mud the rest of your life.
I don't have anything else to add to that. Not at all. I'm going to get my ass out here.
Well, hold on.
Before I get rained out.
Hold on. There is one thing that we do need to. So, you know, we didn't have a lot of positive information to say about what it means to be a suicide, possible suicide victim. I still call it a victim. I feel like the society makes it to where a person don't have a chance. When they do an honest assessment of what's going on in society, they feel like they don't have nothing positive to add. So when that comes down on you, there is a national number. It's called 1-800-273-TALK. TALK. 1-800-273-8255. Now, the online, you know, most people don't call anymore. They just, you know, like she said, they just type it in. I'm not feeling well, they say. So if you want somebody to chat with online, okay, you go to the URL code is suicidepreventionlifeline.org. Suicide Prevention Lifeline is one word. Suicide Prevention Lifeline.org. okay? And it's going to take you to a site that'll get let you do a real-time online chat with somebody who can, you know, talk to you about what it means to be in the state of mind that you're in, if you're in such a state of mind, you know, because most people think they're suicidal, and what they are is just financially, I don't know why I can't say this damn word, financially and emotionally desperate. And that's not the same as suicidal. You know, suicidal mm-hmm. is, like, as we can see, does not always have anything to do with financials, because we just saw two affluent people take the what I call the short route. It's not the easy route. It's just the short route.
No, I don't think it's easy either. You're right.
And there were some people that would say that it's a spiteful act, that it's a selfish act, that it's a mean act. And I personally, you know, I think it's a sympathetic act. They may know something that you really don't know about what they were intending to do, or what kind of thing was happening to them. You don't know. So I'm not the person necessarily to call if those are your intentions, because I actually understand them more than the average person would. And instead of being there like, no, I would be like, well, would you like to get your house in order? I believe in, you know, euthanasia and getting your house in order and then taking the short route. But most people, if they decide to get their house in order, it takes so damn long to get your house in order that they end up living a long life trying to pull their life together. It takes forever to pull your life together. I want to tell you, Lee, I can't tell you that I'm extremely excited about the way you brought the subject online, not to reprimand you on broadcast. The subject is a little... I'm sorry, there's work being done in my community. The subject is a little more sensitive to me than should be put out like mm-hmm. that. But
mm-hmm.
the fact, I want you to look at who is saying what. Look at the demographics of who is really thinking of the short route. And you will find mm-hmm. that it's my sister. It's my black sister. My black sister is suffering in a way where she don't see, even if she get the money, she don't see how she going to make the difference. I want you to look at who wrote and who said. You know, it's a lot of black women out there suffering. And so my cure is the sisterhood. I believe in it, brother. I believe black women when they speak. I trust black women. I provide right. things for black women. I will sacrifice time for black women and her children. I will do what needs to happen for a black woman to make it better. And I need our listeners, and I need you and anybody else who can hear me to understand that until we go back to the foundation of what it means to be human, who gave us this humanity? It was her. It was she. It was the first black woman to ever give birth to a male child. That's who we honor when we do right by a black woman. It's the first right. one to allow humans on earth, period. So any disrespect you give a black woman will ricochet throughout humanity. This is what I'm trying to say. There is suicide because we don't care enough about each other. All right, if we don't care about each other, who's getting the least care? We are. Black women are getting the least care. And therefore, let's start there. Let's start at the sisterhood. Love your sister.
I do. And on that note, we will sign off until next week, family. We appreciate you all joining us either live now or later. The next move, actually, I'm looking at... there are only two more moves to make for us, right? There's getting us on iTunes and getting us on Android in the Google store. So I think the Google Store will be first, and iTunes will be next. So look for that coming soon. That is the work that I'm trying to put in right now. That I'm not trying to put in. That I am putting in right now to make that dream a reality, if for lack of a better term right now. Peace to everyone. Please enjoy what's left of your weekend. Again, as
now you
always,
go get you.
Make sure.
I got something for you to do. You can't run yet. You got two things to get as soon as you hang up. All right. You got to get something like a chamomile tea or something. That's going to kill a lot of that stress energy you got from that frustration you had the other day. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing you're going to do, all right, is you're going to get you some like a eucalyptus or lavender, and you're just going to sit there, and you're going to mindfully push your whole energy into a nice, sedate calm. And this is going to kill any and all of that stress you took on, all right? You
mm-hmm.
can't just let time do it. You have to combat that, okay?
I was thinking about just having sex, but, I mean, if you think a chamomile tea is better, then that's okay.
That's more. No, that's more. That's more stress.
Oh, okay. Mm.
Hey, but good luck with
that.
Have some for me, my
friend. I think I might take that risk. You all be good. You all be safe until next week.